Greetings, brethren. Welcome to day 6 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2015. Now, as we have seen in the nation today, unrighteous judgment leads to more sin and more lawlessness. Now, we have already covered that in sermons leading up to the Feast of Tabernacles. However, what we're going to cover today will be 17 keys on how to make righteous judgments. This is one of the reasons that we have the Word of God. And we have seen over and over and over again, when people leave God and reject the Word of God and throw it behind their backs, trouble comes. And if there is no repentance, then more trouble comes. And troubles will come like the waves of the sea. And every once in a while, there is a freak wave, a tremendous wave that will come and cause a lot of destruction. Now, we're seeing that happen right now because of the way that the Supreme Court did this summer. And things will only get worse unless there is repentance. Now then, these are all object lessons for us. So we can learn the right way, we can learn the truth of God, we can understand what we need to do, how to make righteous judgments, right decisions, and so forth. Because all of these have to be based on all the laws and statutes and principles of God. So let's begin. Let's see what the 17 keys are for righteous judgment. Now, we'll spend a little time in the book of Proverbs because the book of Proverbs tells us some very important things about judging righteous judgment and so forth. So let's come to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Now, here we're going to find an absolute principle that applies across everything. Not only for judges, but for anyone who has to make decisions, and for us, because we are in training to rule the world. Now notice verse 4. The king establishes the land by justice, or that is, by judgment. But he who takes bribes tears it down. Now let's come back here and look at a couple of other proverbs. Let's come back here to Proverbs 20 and verse 8. 20 and verse 8. Now, this is what it's supposed to do. Righteousness. And remember, God is a God of truth, God of righteousness, a God of judgment. Remember how we read that there in the book of Jeremiah? Verse 8, Proverbs 20. A king who sits in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. And that's what it should be, rather than accumulate evil, make evil. All right, now come here to Proverbs 21 and verse 3. 21 and verse 3. To do righteousness and justice, or judgment, is more pleasing to God than sacrifice. Well, what do you know about that? Isn't that something? Think about how pleasing it is to God when we make right judgments, when we make right decisions, when we do what is right. All right, one more proverb right here in the same chapter, verse 15. And this, you could say, is the key for the whole thing. It is joy to the righteous to do justice, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. Now, if we applied that today, then things would be a whole lot different, okay? But wrong judgments are the source of all lawlessness. Now, let's start out number one. Number one, remember the judgment is not yours, it is God's. Now, this is what we find, you won't have to write this down, 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 6, where Hezekiah told the judges, take heed to what you do, For you judge not for man, but for the Lord. Now, isn't that what we're going to do during the millennium? Judgment will be given to us. We will sit on thrones judging. And that means have official capacity to judge and to rule. All right? Number two, here is the most important thing. Number two, know yourself and get sin out of your lives. Because then, your thinking will be aligned with God's. And you will be able to make right decisions, righteous judgments. Now here's a key. We covered this yesterday, which is this. The way we overcome our sins is to judge ourselves in our prayers before God, asking forgiveness, guidance, correction, understanding, and all of those things. 1 Corinthians 11:31. We won't turn there. 1 Corinthians 11:31 tells us, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now think about that. That's really important for us to understand. Okay? Now then, this means we have to actively be putting sin out of our lives, because you can't live in sin and make righteous judgments. It won't happen. It's an impossibility. Now, since we're still here in the book of Proverbs, let's come to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 in verse 10. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not transgress in judgment. Now, a little sidebar with this, the next verse is also true. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All weights of the bag are his word. So, God wants everything right, everything correct, and these are the judgments we are to make. Now notice what it says here in verse 12. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. And that's the only way. To have righteous judgment, you have to have righteous behavior. You have to have righteous thoughts. You have to understand the word of God. Now, verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Now, take and apply this to everything that you see going on in the government today, regardless of what level it is, whether it's local or whether it is county, or whether it is state, or whether it is country. Okay? Now, getting the sin out of your life, we find this here in Matthew 5. Correction, Matthew 7 and verse 5. So let's go there once again. Let's see what Jesus said. And this verifies that we have to overcome our sins and get sins out of our lives. All right? Now let's pick it up here in verse 3. Matthew 7, verse 3. Now why do you look at the sliver that is in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, allow me to remove the sliver from your eye, and behold, the beam is in your eye, you hypocrite? So what happens? You become a hypocrite. When you try to execute right judgment, if there's great sin in your life, you hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to remove the sliver out of your brother's eye. So you have to get sin out of your life. Okay? Number three, very important. In every case, hear all of the facts. This is one of the most vital requisites in righteous judgment. Without it, it's impossible to come to the knowledge of the truth or to make a right judgment, because a righteous judgment is based upon truth. Now, if you don't have all the facts, and have all the right facts, then you're going to have a flawed decision. Now you have to check the facts to make sure that they are correct. You may have to ask questions about someone. Sometimes you may even have to ask the unaskable question so you know what the problem really is. So that's the only way you can get to the heart of the matter, because you have to get to the heart of the matter so that you know what you are doing. Okay? Now then, at the same time, this ties together with number four. Number four is, always be open-minded and hear all aspects of a situation. Number four, always be open-minded and hear every aspect of a situation. This is part of getting all the facts. You must listen to it. Remember, people are always inclined to put themselves in the best light. If something comes up, you need to make a decision, you know, just like your children. First one comes and says, well, Johnny's doing this. And we'll see about the one who comes first in just a little bit. But then you need to get all the facts. You need to ask, why is Johnny doing this? What is the reason behind it? Okay? Now, here's a great proverb. Always remember this. Let's come back to the book of Proverbs again. And let's come to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 17. This is true. Now you can see how this works in politics. The first one to get to the news and get his story out seems to be the one who's right. Well, Proverbs 18 and verse 17 says, the one who is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. Now, when there is difficulties and other problems that come along, okay, verse 19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and their disagreements are like the bars of a fortress. Now, sometimes you get yourself into that situation. So what you need to do is then to get all the facts, have an open mind, look at every aspect of the situation. Now then, we're going to learn something else. When someone comes first, and it seems just, then you make up your mind and you're sure, absolutely sure you're right. And then, here comes someone to bring you some more facts, okay? So what you need to do then, realize this, because this becomes one of the most important things in making righteous judgment. Number five, never render a judgment without hearing the entire matter. Take the time to get the whole story. Now let's look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13 right here. Verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Now think about how many bad judgments were made that way. You didn't hear the whole story. And another thing we'll see a little later. Don't get yourself in the middle of it where then you're not looking at all of the facts. See? Like one man said, sleep on it and then come back at it again. All right, here's another one. Number six, never look only at circumstances and outward appearance. Now, we covered that yesterday when Samuel was sent to anoint David as king. Even the best are taken back at outward appearance. Now then, isn't it always true that con artists and liars always like to make themselves very presentable? And why is that? There's a quirk in human nature, which is this. If the person, a man, is handsome, well, then you assume he's right. Or a woman, beautiful. Now, they wouldn't tell lies, would they? Well, isn't that the way con artists work? Yes, indeed. So, never judge by outward appearances. Okay? That's a command by Jesus. Let's come to John 7. John 7. Let's pick it up here. John 7 and verse 24. John 7 and verse 24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And they were all amazed when he said that. Okay. Now then, let's also see it here in 2 Corinthians 10. This has to do with our judgment. Now, another thing that is true, as we find here in 2 Corinthians 10, that we're not to do things after the carnal or fleshly way. No, we're not, because you can't intermix the ways of men with the ways of God and expect it to come out right. Now, here Paul was telling them in a very profound way that they were viewing things from the wrong point of view. So he says here, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7, are you looking at things according to their appearance? If anyone is persuaded in his own mind that he is Christ's, let him reconsider this concerning himself. For exactly as he is Christ's, so also are we Christ's, looking to appearance. Now, Paul did not have a good appearance. And people were saying, well, how can he be an apostle of God? And here all these false apostles coming as ministers of righteousness and saying they're true ministers, but they weren't. So don't look to the outward appearance. Don't look to the physical things, because that is carnal-mindedness. Now then, let's look at it this way. If someone is angry, is it because they have a bad temper and it's a habit? Or is it because there's something to be angry about and getting a right judgment or a correction to the situation would help it? You need to determine that. That's essential in child rearing. That's essential with us getting along with each other, with us loving each other, serving each other. That is essential in trying to help people come to reconciliation with their disputes. Okay? Now then, what we need to also understand, the next one, number 7, is very important. You have to discern, number 7, you have to discern the attitudes and motives of those involved. Why? And you need to realize this. When you're dealing with problems, carnality will be involved. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, when people come for advice or ask your opinion, you may think about why they're asking it, because they may be asking it for an entirely different purpose than it seems. Now, in order to discern that, you have to let the Holy Spirit give you the gift of discernment. So this is very important, especially for elders and ministers. When counseling people, you have got to know. And it's very important that when it comes to helping settle a dispute, you have to set aside your feelings, your emotions, and understand everything the way it actually is, because some people can come in a very hostile way or a very nice way, and in either case, they may be trying to get their own way. So what is the attitude and motive that is involved? Okay? Now, this is especially true. This is why God says, You shall not go up and down among your brethren as tale-bearers or as gossipers. Why? Now, in some of the churches we have been in, and some of these you will see, are the result of having suffered a lot of these things within those churches. But remember the one who comes first? Remember the little snitches that would go to the ministers? Remember when there were those who were within the congregation that were actually spies for the minister? Yes, indeed. Okay. Some might be coming to tell something so that they will look more important. Now, you see why, as we covered earlier. Jesus said, if you have a difficulty, you go to the person you have the difficulty with first, and you do that alone. Now, that is so that it can be solved at the lowest level possible. That's what God wants. So in all these cases, remember the things concerning Matthew 18. All right. Number 8. And this is very important. Never be a respecter of persons. That means don't play politics. Don't have favorites. No. Remember, it's not a matter of who the person is, what his position is, how much money he makes, or who his relatives are. Never show partiality. That's what's wrong with judging in the world today, especially in the courts. They are nothing but political, and they have to be a respecter of those who put them in the office. So that's really quite a thing to understand. All right? You try that with your children and see how far you get. Likewise, within a church. Now, when the hierarchical church was reigning, you had the minister, you had his assistants, you had the spies, you had the snitchers, you had the tattletalers, and all of that made for a terrible situation. Now, let's see what God says about it here. Let's come to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Let's see what God says. Now, that's why you need to know the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's why we need to have the laws and commandments of God, the statutes, the judgments, and the precepts, so that we understand that God is covering the full range of human nature. Exodus 23. And let's pick it up here in verse 1. You shall not raise a false report. No snitchers, no tattletalers. So what if they come and say, did you know this? You look them right in the eye and say, did you go to that person personally and talk about it first? Why would you come to me? See? Do not raise a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness or unrighteous judge. That happens too often. Now notice this. This tells us the majority is not always right. In fact, much of the time, it's completely wrong. Verse 2. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. And that's exactly what happened this summer with the same-sex marriage and with the Obamacare law by the Supreme Court. See? Neither shall you testify in a cause in order to side with many so as to pervert judgment. Now then, isn't that a good law? Yes. Neither shall you be partial to a poor man in his cause. You are not to respect persons. Status, title, everything like that, go by the wayside. Now, let's understand something. What does the Bible tell us? Okay, let's come here to Leviticus 19 and verse 15. Let's see a very important thing. And this is certainly true. Leviticus 19, Okay. Leviticus 19 and verse 15. Here we go. Verse 15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but you shall judge your neighbor in righteousness. Now also notice verse 16. You shall not go as a slanderer among your people. You shall not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Now he's got quite a few other things in here that go along with it, see? You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall always admonish your neighbor, and you shall not bear that you shall not bear sin because of him. See, so all of these things, look at how it is. Every problem solved at the lowest level possible. One of the worst things that ever happened in one of the large churches of God, that they decided that all divorce and remarriage problems had to be solved by headquarters. Well, that was two or three steps removed from the local scene, and it was always administered by a written report, and you never knew how the report was written by the minister, whether he was rendering a righteous judgment or a false judgment, or whether he was partial or whatever. And that was an absolute horrible thing to do, all right? Absolutely miserable thing to do. God does not want that, okay? All right, right along with that, number nine, never accept a gift. Now, I know that ordinations took place in that church, because men were cuddling up, as it were, politically with the minister and doing things for him, giving him gifts, giving him privileges. Yes, indeed. Okay? A minister should never accept a gift of anything that should be for a service or to take care of a decision to sway the opinion of the minister. So we are never to allow ourselves to get in a position to be obligated to any man or woman in any way personally. Now, this can come in the form of loans, gifts, food, clothing, meals, work, or services. Now, let's come back here to Exodus 23 and verse 8. See, that's why it's good that you go through and study all the statutes and laws and commandments of God. So you will see that he is dealing in a lot of things that are practical and good and necessary. Exodus 23 and verse 8. You shall take no bribe, for the bribe blinds the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Now, isn't that something? Yes, indeed. Then he also says, let's go back up here to the seventh verse. Keep far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And how many of those things occurred? What did it do to the church? How corrupt did it become? Now maybe this helps you understand why God had to get rid of it. Okay? Never accept a gift, all right? Now then, all of these things tell us very important aspects of making righteous judgment, right decisions. And of course, when we're trying to help settle disputes between people, these things come up. And so every elder and minister needs to be aware to not get himself into a position where that he is beholding to anyone. Never accept a gift. Now you see how these go step by step by step by step. All right. Number 10, always be totally fair and impartial. Now think about that. Always That's what God is. God is no respecter of persons. It says that Old Testament and the New Testament. Everything that God does is based on truth. Now, always remember this, as we covered yesterday. There is always the judgment first. The wages of sin is death. That's the judgment. But upon true repentance, then mercy is applied. Now, too many times people have it reversed. They give mercy before there's repentance. God does not give mercy until there is repentance. And as we saw yesterday, if the crime is bad enough, the sin is bad enough, like David with the affair of Bathsheba, God said he was going to have trouble in his own house the rest of his life. And look what David tried to do. You sit down and analyze all the carnal things that David did, abusing the power as king, thinking that he could take another man's wife, thinking that he could get away with killing Uriah in the battle. Now, what did that bring upon all of Israel? Trouble, just like we see today in the nation that we have today. All around us, trouble, because no one knows how to make righteous judgments or righteous decision. They don't have the laws of God to run their lives, to have it written in their heart and mind, so that this becomes a part of what they do. Notice how it's impossible to always be fair and impartial in such an evil world. Well, let's take a little break, and we'll come back and pick it up. Number 10, always be fair and impartial.